This is CliffCentral.com. All right, we're here. We're live. It's Friday again. This is the last
again.
Show. I know. No, well, it's not in a bad way, but
it's like just 6 days ago.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. I've had enough of these public holidays. They ruined the flow of this year. They've created gaps. People are not in the office. Nothing gets done. And now, finally, even the politicians have to get to work.
Yeah, it's over.
Oh, yeah, all of the funfair of...
Yeah, don't you think?
Pre-elections is over.
Get to work, yeah, because they couldn't steal the last 6 days. They actually had to not steal. They were sweating on TV yesterday. Like, what's wrong? I haven't stolen in a week. It's been so tough for me. Thoughts and prayers.
Well, a minimum of politics this morning because it's No Politics Friday, which we love.
I know, Gareth, but it is it is also the election week. Right. So would we be irresponsible if we were to touch on it a bit?
Maybe. So I'll give you a little overview of the election results.
I'm asking for a lot. I'm just saying we should be balanced.
No, I think that's exactly right.
Wow.
But this morning we have lots of other stuff to get to. So let me get this out of the way for those people who are interested in politics and want it up front. So overnight while you were sleeping... The major movements have been that the ANC are still under 60%, which for them is a bit of a disaster, but it's stable, 57%. They've got 6,781,918 votes as of right now.
That's 6 million blah, 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 blah people who need therapy.
Yes, Ben, and the total percentage calculated so far is only 75%, so... We've still got a quarter of the votes to be accounted
and
for.
And where are those votes? That's what's important.
Mostly in urban areas. Mostly Joburg, mostly Cape Town, mostly
the ones
Durban.
That are in?
No, the ones that we're waiting for.
Waiting for.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you look at the Western Cape, for example, all the smaller outlying provinces are in. It's in the actual city of Cape Town that they're now still trying to...
I mean, they could change everything.
And remember, so in Cape Town, 74% are also completed, but they still need to get... the city of Cape Town in, and then of course it's the other major metropolitan areas like Durban and Johannesburg and Pretoria and PE, and once those are in, we'll get to close to 90%. But look, it's pretty much all starting to take shape now. The DA are the next biggest party. Horrible performance after the last elections, because remember in 2014. The DA had 22.23%. This time they've only got 21.87%. So it's not much of a difference.
No,
and that's after 4 years of skullduggery from the ANC.
Yeah.
Of and throwing out Auntie Pat, of fighting among themselves.
God, how shitty you as opposition
of
if you go backwards.
On billboards.
I wouldn't say they're going backwards, but they're certainly not growing. They're stagnating.
And apparently those votes have gone to the FF Plus.
Correct.
Correct.
He hates font.
Correct.
Lakasua.
Yeah, Netua.
Plus.
The EFF have done very well. Not as well as they'd wanted. They wanted like 15%. They ended up at 10%, as the current tally shows.
According to Twitter, they were going to get 117% of the votes.
I can.
No, that's because Black Twitter is not particularly numerate or literate, but we'll leave that alone for another time. The IFP are the fourth biggest party. They've got 2.89%, which is horrible for them. It's dismal. But in KZN, they do look a lot better. In KZN, they've got 15.53% of the vote. So not all bad for the IFP. The next biggest party, as Leanne says, is the Vryheidsfront Plus.
Plus.
It's not enough to be the Vryheidsfront.
You've got to be the Vryheidsfront
Plus.
Well, and that's why they were always Mabali Maloy's favorite party, because they added the plus, which meant they were taking things seriously.
Right.
And they're taking it to another level.
And because they're positive.
They're at 2.48%, which makes them not only the fifth biggest party, but also an increasing, an influence that they didn't really have before in Parliament.
Positive influence.
Why? Because of the
plus.
In the last elections, just for interest's sake, the Vryheidsfront Plus were about the seventh biggest party with 0.90%. So that's quite a big growth for them.
Big jump.
Yes, they're going to celebrate, eh? Jerefok.
Nou gaan ons braai.
Nou gaan ons lekker braai.
So that's 2. So they've grown by two and a half times, which is pretty impressive. And then the smaller parties, the only ones that are likely to get seats are the ACDP, the UDM, GUD, the ATM, which is...
ACDP, UDM.
Exactly, that's what it sounds like. But the ATM are Jimmy Money's people. Mzwanele Mani, whatever. The AIC, which is the African Independent Congress, I've never heard of them, but they've managed to get 0.29%, which should get them a seat. COPE may squeak in with one seat, but my God, how their fortunes have turned.
Mm. Ever since you voted for them, Gareth, back in 2000.
I did too, actually.
Yeah, it seems when I throw my weight behind something, it usually ends badly for them. COPE were at 0.67, so it's not as if they've, you know, grown in volumes. But they did have 123,000 votes in the last election. And in this one, it's not as good, I'm afraid.
I think it's pretty bad that instantly when I think of the seats in parliament allocated to various parties, my mind rushes to go, oh, COPE, if you only have one seat, that means you have one person fighting for you when a physical fight breaks out.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Like, you also have to go, you don't have a mate to go with.
The really bad news is that Hlaudi Motsoeneng will not be our president.
Oh, no, I really thought,
But isn't there still a mathematical chance?
Well, with 2,744 votes.
It's a shame.
Okay, but like in all seriousness, how the hell did he get that many?
Ben, I've been saying, we need to sit these people down.
The mental health issues in this country, we need to actually get to the bottom of it now.
Massive mental health issues.
But I'm more fascinated. I'm like, really, what is it that he has said that has sparked support within you?
Well, we all know what he said.
What is the track record that speaks for itself?
He said this country is going to be the best country in the world, and he's going to basically shoot lightning out of it. Look, he said all kinds of things. It's the dumbasses who believe anything.
Okay.
Anything. I mean, that's an alarming number of unstable people who have actually come out of their house to prove how unstable they are. Because it's not just about being at home and tweeting.
Let's be serious for a second. This is a direct correlation to the amount of severe mental illness that there are, that people are going through out there, and that people who've been abused, and people who didn't get enough food when they were growing up, and people whose brains shrunk, and people who were pulled out of their mother's vaginas with forceps,
didn't have parents.
You know, there's damage. There's a lot of damage. Yeah. So let's not be unkind about this. We know that there are a lot of people with big problems, but they're adults, and they, according to the South African Constitution, are allowed to go and vote.
Yeah.
I do have to remind you. I spoke to Pumi and Sia about this. I brought this up with them yesterday, but it's worth repeating. I had a man who squeezed in front of me right at the desk at the IEC, at the voting station.
What?
He pushed right because he was old. So he pushed right, they put old people up to the front, which I don't understand.
I was petrified I was going to be called to the front this year. Thank goodness I wasn't.
You thought this was the line.
So they pushed this man. This man had shat in his pants.
No.
He smelt like, there's no other smell like that. You know when someone hasn't washed their asshole?
It's on a different bad frequency.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. Frequency,
You
act differently around it.
Yeah, it's very bad. Anyway, so I just had to get that out there because we talk about mental illness, and this was an old white man who was dressed reasonably well. He wasn't like a complete slob, but he stank like this. Trust me, there is a lot of mental illness out there. I had it in front of me in the queue. So
He didn't die like some other people did.
Yeah, but Gareth,
died in the queue?
Two people. Really? Yeah, two voters and one IEC official.
Jeez. What happened?
They just died of old age. And I searched the stories because I thought, please God, let them at least have voted. But no, they died before.
Shame.
Oh, no.
What a horrible, ignominious way to go. I took pictures, and you're not allowed to take pictures. I took pictures outside of the actual booth of people. And I was just trying to amuse myself because I was there for a long time. So I took a picture of this one woman, this older woman. She's big, and she was wearing purple. I said, I hope this woman, this purple cow, is voting purple.
Aha.
And then my sister's boyfriend was in the other queue because his surname is with an M. And we were in the obviously the C queue, or the A to M queue, or whatever it was. So I took a picture of him while he was voting, and I said, you can see there he is, voting for the ANC again. And he was not impressed. He thought that wasn't funny.
We didn't hear from you two, Ben. How is your voting experience?
Yeah, great. I vote at the Sandton City Library.
Oh. I found out on the morning you can vote anywhere in Gauteng if you have a proof of address.
Yeah, so the Sandton City Library is the easiest thing ever. No one seems to go to it. I was later than I was hoping, and there was a queue of 20 people, so it was 20 minutes.
My voting station was 500 meters from my house in the same street.
And you had a queue from your front door.
I thought I was going to, but no, it was very easy. The only thing is some of the scanners broke down, so we were sent into different rooms to places where there were scanners working.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But all the white people were complaining. Oh, of course you are now. The scanners aren't working.
This country's gone to shit again for the 75,000 millionth time.
Please.
Now, there are people who think that Karima Brown is a journalist, right? She's, of course, not a journalist, and here's proof of it. Here she is trying to ask a question on ENCA to...
She relates to Ellis Brown.
No.
Benjamin.
Karima Brown is asking... listen to this. This is someone who... According to the guy who we had on yesterday, Gareth Van Onselen, when an interviewer forgets that she is an interviewer, to the extent that she even forgets the question, in fact, the first four questions, and so in love with her own voice, just generally devolves any questioning into a mindless two-minute political rant. That's what Karima Brown is. Here, listen to her.
Why don't you take these examples of fraud to the police and lay criminal charges against these individuals? And more importantly, because you had party agents giving you information in real time, you could have actually stopped it from happening. So people didn't have to vote twice. So when they saw someone voting twice, they could have stopped it from happening, because that is why you have your party agent there, to protect your interests. What is strange to me is that there were other problems that were also making it difficult for people to vote.
Oh, Jesus.
That was a bad recording. Anyway, she just goes on and on. She honestly goes on like this for 2 minutes. She is so shit at her job. I mean, the fact that she's got a job on ENCA, but then, I mean, Chester Missing does too, so that's not surprising.
Yeah.
And she has a job on 702 is a disgrace to both of those organizations, which call themselves media houses.
Mm-hmm.
Disgraceful. And I mean, they've got just such terrible people on there. In fact, someone even sent me a message this morning on the screen here in the studio, which you can do 0797482090. Lots of messages about The Bachelor. We'll get to that in a minute. Someone says, I can't believe they had that stupid fucking puppet on E! News. Pathetic. That's Dilly Stillies.
But that is just a reflection of that, ENCN.
It's a terrible program.
He's actually as good as it gets, because the rest of them got no credibility, so they might as well just have some sort of laugh.
A puppet, yeah.
LOL.
Mm. Anyway, so enough about the elections. I'm very glad that we've got that covered. Let's move on, because there are other things to talk about, and we've got to get to The Bachelor, which we'll do in a little while. Yeah.
Are we emotionally ready to do that even?
Well, I'll play you a little clip of Sia that he sent yesterday, which will give you an idea of what's going on in The Bachelor. Sia was so excited yesterday, but he is... I do have to say also that Sia is a real bitch. I saw him at 6 o'clock last night, and I said, ooh, are you going to watch The Bachelor? Ooh, it's very exciting. He said, oh, I can't wait. And he was preparing popcorn, and he was getting ready for a big... night in. So let me just play this for you quickly, and you'll have some idea of how vicious Sia can be when he's watching television. And, you know, just, he's not the right person to...
I thought this was sent in confidence.
You don't call him if you've got a real problem in your life or you're going through emotional trauma. Listen to this.
Okay, you guys have to watch the end, but all I'm going to say is there are tears. And a very embarrassing walk of shame. Oh no, she's coming back. More tears. Oh no.
So of course, Sia was watching this. Leanne and I couldn't watch it because DSTV Now.
Let's talk about the malfunction. So were you watching on a TV?
Yes.
Okay, we were watching on our laptops on DSTV Now. And there was a meltdown. You know, it was having a few challenges.
If it isn't the ANC, it's the DSTV. They're all letting us down, one citizen at a time.
So we just had a black screen with an error message.
No. Error 500 or something.
And we had that until I went to bed eventually.
Oh, you didn't get to watch
it. I woke up at 4 this morning to watch it.
You are very determined.
I was determined and I'm very dedicated. Dedicated as well.
That's
so determined.
So, yes, I watched it early this morning and, well, I don't know. Well, should we get into it?
I think yes, so. I mean, I don't like the president.
I was on Twitter, and then Gina started trending, so I know I got to pay Gareth $200 now.
Yes.
Well, so, do you, Ben? Because things happened and unfolded a little differently.
Technically.
Yes, exactly.
Oh. Technically.
Oh, what is this?
Okay, so.
We'll get to it at the end.
Oh, boy. All right, let's go. No, go.
I like the sound of that.
Gareth, maybe you might not have the money at the end of this.
Ooh. To quote Lee, we finally here. there was Canal Cruz who was singing at the
We like Canal Cruz. He's been
is that his name?
Cool, yeah. Is that how they pronounced it?
No, it's how I said it in my head when I saw the subtitle. Anyway, but no, he was very good. I think he might have done a lot of music for the show anyway.
And I thought it was a beautiful set. All of the ladies were there from the beginning. There was a live studio audience with some interesting characters in attendance.
Like all the Yazan's family members.
Parents.
Yeah.
Oh. With a side eye.
Mm-hmm. So it started with a flashback when Lee said, "Tonight, I'm potentially meeting my wife." Okay, and they were started right at the beginning. At this point, I thought, how long is this thing going to be? Remember we had Annalene in the studio,
one of the contestants. She was great.
She has still not got over the fact that she was called needy.
Yeah.
She was asked live if she, you know, for her comments, and she said, I'm still not over the fact that I was called needy. And quite an interesting question was put to Lee saying, who would you want it to have spent more time with?
And he answered.
He said, I wanted more time with Jenna.
Oh.
Jenna was Ben's favorite, I think, actually.
She was the best left of my list, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, he had the one-on-one with her at that Michelangelo apartment.
But he did want more time with her.
That's well, then why did he vote her off, the dumbass?
Jenna was on Gareth's list. I loved her, but I think she had a pinched face. Whoopsie.
Oh,
I'm just saying, she's the delight of a woman, but too much of a pinch face.
Then there was a bit of a, it was weird, I don't know if the girls sat where they wanted to in the live show, or if they were put there, because all the blacks were together.
Oh no, really?
All four of the black ladies were in one corner together. And you know, I love my people, but I think there's something within us. When two or more are gathered in our name, where drama just ensues. So they were spurring each other on when topics arose. So just like, no, answer the question, Lee.
We're not satisfied
with this
answer. Yeah, so they basically, all four black ladies could be put into one shot. And then you could see them all backing each other up, which was quite funny.
That was just meme central. If you paused your screen at the right time, you were waiting for meme.
Okay, yeah.
But the first, just to summarize it, the first part of the episode was just dealing with different plots over the season. So remember there was that one storyline of America losing her diary, and supposedly she wrote in her diary that she was still in a relationship.
That was one that was always on the verge of bursting into tears, right?
Yes.
With the braces, yeah. And she had a photo of her and her ex, allegedly. That was a thing last night. Michelle R. spoke, but before that, Michelle D. admitted that she had taken the diary, but she was with other girls, and it was just
they
a whole thing.
They hid it in
thing.
The linen closet.
Yeah, it was just non-eventful.
And now the diary's still missing, by the way.
Because there isn't one.
No one ever got it back.
That was the most useless subplot, just like the producer's son said, hi, can I say something about your diary? No, there's nothing there. It was so lame.
Michelle R. got her time in the spotlight. Ever graceful. She was the same old Michelle R.
Very consistent.
Encountered the entire season. I like her.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then it shows what happened in Mauritius with the actual day of determining who the winner would be.
Sure.
First up was Yazan. She, okay, so he starts speaking to her, and then he basically says, "You're not the person.
My
heart is with somebody else." She was so shocked.
Her
she was
face
blindsided,
drops.
As she says. Now she's being interviewed live as this happens as well, and she is sobbing.
She put her heart on the pillow.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I, in my true opinion, I thought she was going to win because I really could see how much she loved him.
Mm.
And she still does. And she sobbed, and he put his arm around her.
So that voice note was recorded when I saw that interaction at the rose ceremony in Mauritius. Yazan walks up, drama. He has his little monologue, eventually saying, "You aren't the one for me." Yazan's face drops. Yeah. And she's genuinely confused.
So like, this was good TV. This is good drama.
It was really cheesy. Okay. Yazan's like, no, I don't understand. Tears start falling down her face. Yeah. And she really looks so sad as she walks away. But she stops midway. And she turns around. She goes, no, like, I don't understand. I'm like, Yazan, go and beat him up. It doesn't really look like she was going to.
Well, she went, okay, and walked off. I mean, Shame. What can she do?
But she kept on repeating to camera in Mauritius saying, I don't understand.
I don't understand.
And the whole
awkward flight home, huh?
Well, talk about an awkward flight. And then you awkwardly have
next to her. If you're just a family that's gone there on holiday, now you've got this bawling fucking crybaby next to you.
But then it was also an awkward interaction at the Women's Tell All special, because then Lee's invited back onto stage and Yazan is invited back onto stage and they have to share a couch as they now talk
within
about.
Within arm's reach.
Oh, it was. Was horrible.
Listen, I knew something was up though when Lee first spoke on the live show. His voice was quivering. I knew that there was going to be a weird outcome. So then it shows.
So he was more in trial here than anything else.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like it.
It then shows his and Gina's interaction from the show. And he basically declares undying love for her.
Can we just walk with it for a moment? Yeah. There was a line Lee said to Gina, firstly called her my Gina.
Mm-hmm.
Then Lee says,
thank goodness he didn't say Virginia.
Virginia.
You know?
Says, right. When I'm with you, I feel like I'm home.
Oh, God.
And I never want this fairy tale to end.
She was actually quite shocked when he started reaching into his pocket to pull out a ring. She was like, she didn't quite know what to do.
How is she like Leanne?
And he pulls out the ring and he puts it on the wrong hand.
No, puts it on the right hand. But that's when I knew something was up.
Yeah, nothing was said. Then it comes back into the live studio and him and Gina are sitting on the sofa together, right? Uh-huh. And they aren't looking at each other.
Uh-oh.
They aren't holding hands. They're also sitting on the couch together, but they're separated. There's no cute body language or interaction there. So that's when my first feelers went up. Like, okay, it was a right hand. He kept on emphasizing it's a commitment ring. And then this awkward interaction.
Commitment ring, what are they, like 15?
Yeah.
So
Jonas Brothers.
He said it is a... So Jack Friedman's ring was a commitment ring, not an engagement ring.
So why give her a diamond then?
Well, I don't know, Ben.
This was sponsored.
They had to.
Those people needed their coverage.
And the big question... Are you guys happy? Are you still together?
Plot twist time.
And then what?
No.
Already
not.
Broken up.
Yep. Wait, so hang on a second. Was it Jason, the host, answering these questions, or was it Debbie from Carte Blanche?
No, it was definitely Jason.
Because if they could have brought in Debbie at that stage and said, why not?
Well, they said,
what happened?
You know, after the time in Mauritius, they came back and reality set in. And
they were
they really
out of the
did,
bachelor bubble.
Yeah, they really did try, but it just didn't work out for them. I have two thoughts based on a conclusion like this. Firstly, if I was Gina, sponsored or not, I walk away from that relationship with the freaking ring because I'm like,
sure.
Cheers, dude,
okay,
I'm
but
fine.
No, but you're explaining this now like people who haven't seen it won't understand. So is that where it ended?
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's no resolution.
There's no resolution. No.
Basically, he chose her, and since the end of the show, it's all fallen apart.
Yes.
Lee's single, Gina's
okay, so
single.
That's not such a big drama.
So essentially, people are outraged on Twitter saying they just watched this for 12 weeks.
They're outraged that TV isn't real life, and they're outraged that social media isn't real life because they've started to believe it. Well, I'm sorry to break it to you, but if you really thought that Humpty Dumpty, then you're about to have a shit life. Because that's not how reality works. And TV is not the real world, and neither is social media. And you can't force people to fall in love just because they were entering a competition to fall in love with some dude who's supposedly looking for a wife.
I would have to say this conclusion makes it more real. Well, this is, it would have been ideal to have a fairy tale and the run into the sunset.
Go listen to the podcast of the first show that we did on The Bachelor and hear what I said there and compare it with what I've just said now, and it's 100%. That's why I won the money. So thank you very much.
You just got lucky.
I won the money because I understand these things. I understand TV.
You understand how to pull names out of a hat. Well done, I understand TV,
and I understand... No, please. The money is besides the point. You're not paying me for those names on that list. You're paying me because the outcome is precisely what I would have...
No, I'm not.
If you'd asked me to predict an outcome without names, I would have said...
Okay, if I can speak on behalf of the group. Yeah. We firstly disagree with you. Secondly...
We all do.
Yeah, it's our shop steward.
I don't know if Ben owes you the money.
On technicality.
I am taking this money off of Karpinski if it kills me.
They are not together.
I will stab him and take it off his dead body if I have to.
He might even get together with Yazan again. It happened before on The American Bachelor.
That was going to be my second outcome. Yazan should have jumped straight back onto that stage, onto Lee's lap and go, yo, daddy, what's up?
Yeah. No, because she must be better than that. This is the whole problem. Oh. And this is why guys get to do...
Yeah.
But you know, yeah, look, we've got to conclude The Bachelor. The problem is, in this country, we're not Americans, right? The Americans stay together because they know the commercial value in it.
Well, Lee, and they're also paid. They have a house. They have to be on lockdown for six months.
If Lee and Gina could suck it up, they could be opening shopping malls. They could be like emceeing dog shows. Yeah. There's so much money that they just left on the table here because they wanted to be real and honest. No one gives a shit about that. Americans get it. Australia, same thing. The honey badger, he decided not even to pick a chick.
I saw that.
He didn't even pick anybody at the end. He's like, yeah, these cheaters aren't that great. And then that was it.
Okay, we'll talk about that just now because I watched a bit of the Australian Bachelor, even though I watched 5 minutes of our local one. We had a pact and I just didn't follow through.
I knew
that I'd eventually get the story from you guys the next day, and I don't need to watch that show. It's absolutely hopeless shit, and I cannot watch 5 minutes of other people's relationship shit. I just can't. I can't do it in real life. So why on earth would I watch it on TV? Mm-hmm. And you are a sad, pathetic individual if you're so busy voyeuring your way into other people's relationships. You are a sad, pathetic piece of shit, and you need to realize that. And I'm not going to apologize.
It's too juicy.
No, well, you go
ahead.
It's
too juicy not to.
How many hours of your lives have you wasted with this shit show?
12 hours.
It's called show prep, Gareth. Yes, we can give the best on this show.
We're committed.
I'd have done better to go to the IEC Center. All right, let's move on because we've got five things you need to know this morning. Ben's got some sport. There's lots to talk about, and I'll tell you what I thought of the honey badger.
Honey badger?
By the way, one of the ugliest people I've ever seen.
The ugliest bachelor in world history.
Yikes.
With a moustache.
He's a fair dinkum bloke.
He's got a moustache.
Like
right?
A poodle, man.
Dreadful.
Gosh, he's like the Bogan George Clooney. Have some respect.
The what George Clooney?
Bogan.
No,
that's,
okay.
Yeah, working class Australian.
Listen, at least I didn't call the royal baby a chimp. Right.
Yeah, well, that's exactly the story in the news this morning. So the first story, the BBC...
Ben!
It is funny.
Oh, you can't make this shit up.
Veteran British broadcaster Danny Baker was on Thursday fired by the BBC after tweeting a picture of the well-dressed couple holding hands with a chimpanzee in a suit, tagged with the caption, Royal Baby Leaves Hospital.
What was he thinking? I mean, honestly, come on.
Accusations of racism immediately flooded his timeline as new royal baby Archie Addison, had mixed race heritage through his mother Megan, and he later took down the picture apologizing for possible connotations. But the BBC announced Baker would be leaving his job as a presenter on Radio 5 Live. This was a serious error of judgment and goes against the values we as a station aim to embody, said the broadcaster, because of course they've never done anything dodgy themselves, like fire presenters who got fired over just social media outrage.
Or pay a salary to people like Jimmy Savile.
Right. Thank you, BBC. You've got absolutely filthy, dirty hands, and for this man and his questionable sense of humor to be the reason for you to virtue signal just makes me sick to my stomach.
They hunted him down and... to his home.
Yes,
and
of course.
He opened the door and he had a few words with the reporter.
Sure.
But he wasn't apologetic in a huge sense.
Well, I think, you know what, if you're offended by this, then it's because there's something in you that bothers you about it. It's a gross, stupid joke, but it's certainly not the reason that's... If you get fired for a bad sense of humor, then I'm sorry, 99% of people in South Africa are going to get fired at work today.
Should be.
Because most people don't have a sense of humor, which I think is a fireable offense. And if you do have a sense of humor, it's probably a little dark. And sometimes you'll say something that's deeply offensive. And you know what? That's what humor is. It hits some chord deep inside, like after September the 11th when you're joking about something that's, you know, stuck under the rubble. Or those are the kinds of things that people do. And in this royal baby, everyone's going gaga over the stupid child.
The child is just born. How's it stupid?
Because it's not important. It was born to two people.
It is important because it's the first quarter black person in the royal family.
And he's a billionaire who sucked on the Duchess Meghan's titties.
Yeah,
that's why he's important. Right.
Okay, but it's not. I see all this mad fawning over this child, and then you hear this guy crack a joke, and he's the villain. All those 99-year-old women in Britain who are, oh, it's so nice that Meghan and Harry had a baby. Isn't it great? Now we've got more royal babies to pay for. I think it's sad and it's stupid. Anyway,
I just want the baby to, you know, be seen without a hat on. Let's see the colour of the hair.
Yes, let's see what that baby is. that
is offensive.
They have been keeping that under wraps.
No. All right, but anyway, in Johannesburg, a Sunnyside police constable has been arrested on a range of charges, including corruption. The officer allegedly extorted 4,000 rand from a motorist and stole his GPS device. It's understood he stopped the man, accused him of being under the influence of alcohol. After demanding cash, he let the motorist leave. He was arrested following an investigation, which started obviously with this motorist reporting the guy, and now he's going to go to court. So this is very interesting. Don't think you can get away with this kind of thing, even if you're a policeman. They will eventually get you.
Who carries 4,000 rand, and B, who gives it away without an actual conclusive test that you're drunk?
Well, no, I think you probably made him go to an ATM and drew it.
Yeah.
Because that's how these police officers
work.
Yeah,
they follow you there.
Extort the money. And then this story is amazing. It came up yesterday. 1,000 guns were found in a mansion in Los Angeles.
Yes.
And a 57-year-old man identified in court records as the longtime companion of Los Angeles real estate mogul Cynthia Beck was arrested after they found 1,000 guns in his home.
The pictures and the video. Do you know what it looks like? 1,000 guns.
Unbelievable. I was so jealous. I wanted those guns.
Look, it's an impressionable collection.
Yes. I don't think that's the point of the story, but okay.
I thought, what a nice collection of guns. I would love to have those in my house.
They had to bring a helicopter in to photograph them because they couldn't get wide enough so many guns there were.
That's right. So we know now that he was dating this real estate mogul. Anyway, Colorado seems to be the place for school shooters. And again, I don't want to seem unnecessarily insensitive here, but two teenage students accused of fatally shooting a classmate and wounding eight others in a suburban Denver school made separate court appearances on Wednesday, a day after their arrest on suspicion of murder and attempted murder. The judge who presided over the proceedings ordered the two suspects to be held without bond pending their next court hearing. They're accused of opening fire with handguns on fellow students on Tuesday in two classrooms in the Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math School in Highlands Reach, Colorado. What is going on in Colorado that it seems to be the epicenter of shootings? Hmm. What's this all about?
Aurora, Colorado.
Columbine.
And it's the one state when my parents, decades ago, were looking at leaving South Africa.
That they wanted to live in,
yeah.
It's beautiful. I mean, you've got the mountains, you've got the stunning, they're very, very chilled people. It's mostly a lovely place to be. People live in Colorado because it's magnificent, not because it's full of gun-wielding teenagers, but there we go. And then finally, in France, an attack by a shark has killed a surfer off France's Indian Ocean island in Reunion. Sorry, so it's a story from France, but it's actually off the coast of Reunion, which is, of course, in the Indian Ocean, near to us.
It's like my worst nightmare.
It's the latest fatality in an increasingly dangerous area, according to emergency services. The surfer, aged 28, lost a leg in the attack and was pronounced dead on being brought back to the port of Saint-Loup in the west of the island. The surfer was accompanied by three friends who tried to take him back to land and didn't manage.
Deadly shark.
Right.
Deadly shark.
So there we go. Those are the news stories you need to know this morning. Over to Ben, who's got some sport for us. Deadly shark. That's nice. Bitcoin.
eats your leg. Do.
Three friends try to save you.
$6,278. Ethereum at $176. Ben, what do you have for us in the sport?
The greatest week in football ever.
Yes. Ooh.
Ever.
Yes. That's it.
Oh. That was.
Yeah, the intro music. Gosh.
It is. Waiting for more.
No, that was it, Gareth. It's the greatest week in football ever. And I'll tell you why. Because it was Champions League, right? Now, Champions League, we knew that Liverpool were going to get an absolute trousering because they're already 3-0 down to Barcelona.
Right.
And they all said, hold my beer. Because in they came and beat them 4-3. Hold my people beer. Lost their shit. Anfield was just a buzz of just male emotion. Like, people crying and touching each other. It was just absolute scenes. Then, Spurs go to Ajax. Ajax were just killing it. They were 3-0 up. There we go. At halftime, they were already smoking spliffs and singing that Adam Levine song, Everything's Gonna Be Alright.
Oh, that's nice. Isn't that nice? Okay. Isn't that lovely? That's fantastic.
But it wasn't. Spurs came back. Lucas Moura, he scored a hat-trick in that second half and mass tears. Ajax fans all hit the ground like they all just got Ebola. And it was absolute scenes of Spurs without Harry Kane. Spurs were through to the final of the Champions League. So it's an all-English final. How amazing is that? A few years back, it was an all-Spanish final. And it was an all-Spanish final in the Europa League. And everyone was like, oh, the Spanish, this is the greatest league. La Liga is the best thing in all of football.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the EPL is now putting their fingers up and saying, oi, over here, it's us. Because now in the Europa final, that's basically the thing that happens in the shadows of the Champions League. Arsenal hammered Valencia 7-3 on aggregate. They go through. And then Spurs beat some German guys, I think, on penalties. So not Spurs, Chelsea. Chelsea beats Frankfurt. And with that, they will now go into the final of the Europa League. It's just incredible. So on the 29th of May, Chelsea versus Arsenal in Baku, Azerbaijan.
Oh, what a shit venue.
I think that's where they're going to play. Yeah, that's cool there.
Really?
You'd see them to the Grand Prix. Yeah. Looks like a lovely, lovely place. And then Saturday, the 1st of June, in Madrid. Estadio Wanda Madrid will be Spurs versus Liverpool. People from around the world are cashing in their savings, selling their children, all to get to this final because, let's be honest, Spurs are never going to make the final of the Champions League ever, right? Here they are.
It's amazing.
Dancing and screaming into the final they go. The best ever week of football. Those comebacks you just don't see. As someone said on Twitter yesterday, if Madeleine McCann were to show up this week, it would only be the third best comeback in Europe.
Wow.
And yes, that's insensitive, but anyway, that's just the magnitude of how great the football was this week. And this weekend is the wrapping up of the English Premier League. So if you look at the table right now, let's not worry about those relegated teams because, let's be honest, they never made the news throughout the year. That's why they're being relegated.
Right.
Man City. Okay. They've had 31 wins, 2 draws, 4 losses with a goal difference of 69. They're on 95 points. Liverpool, they've had 29 wins, 7 draws, only the 1 loss and a goal difference of 65 on 94 points. There it is, your 2-horse race. Who is going to win it? Well, I'll tell you who they're playing first, and that might give you a better chance of picking a winner. Obviously, Liverpool are 1 point back. They'll be trotting out against Wolverhampton Wanderers. Now, Wolves have been pretty decent this year. They really have been. That'll be at 4 o'clock. All the matches on Sunday are at 4 o'clock, so as not to have any match fixing or any other kind of skullduggery. And then Man City, they'll be away to Brighton, Hove, and Albion. All the way there. And both games at 4 o'clock. So there's going to be split-screen action. There's going to be fans doing all kinds of things. Highly charged and very emotional. This is what this week has been in football. And Man City, this is all they've got, really. So if Liverpool don't win this, they can still win the Champions League. So there's still so much riding on them. But they haven't won. The last time Liverpool won the Premier League, Bush was still a thing in pornos.
So that's a long time ago.
That's how far back they've tasted success. So you've got to have... Okay, there's just... Sport is about high stakes, right? The stakes are high this week. They are so high, and that's why everybody is caring about this right now. Then again, in the ABSA Premiership, which is South Africa's version of the league, of course, well, let's have a look at the table there, because it's also a 2-horse race. We're going to the final match in Sundowns. They've played 1-15, drawn 11, 3 losses, goal difference 15, 56 points. Now, as you'll know, there's less teams in this thing, so therefore there's less games and less wins. Orlando Pirates, they are on 14 wins, 12 draws, 3 losses, goal difference of 17, 54 points. They are 2 points back. So there's a mathematical chance but basically we go on to two games. So Sundowns will be away to Free State Stars, 3 o'clock on Saturday. Again, all these games at the same time. Pirates, on the other hand, where will they be? Well, I'll tell you where they'll be. They'll be at home to Polokwane City. So, if you ever did want to get into football, this is the one. This is the weekend, and this is something to be really excited about. If any of those teams are yours, and they're actually contesting something decent.
Fantastic.
Well,
best ever.
Simmer down for a bit to tell you that it's going to be the Spanish Grand Prix this weekend, which I know you're saying, well, it's going to be Mercedes 1-2. Perhaps. But the exciting thing about this one is they've had a bit of a break, and they're coming back with the first engine upgrade of the year, Gareth.
Now, Ferrari, I can see you've been completely converted to a Grand Prix fan.
Yeah, look at me. Yeah. But that's the thing. I pride myself in evolving as a human rather than stagnating. Mm-hmm. That's me. And, well, the Ferrari engine and the Ferrari car in general, there's been so much hype and thrust about where this is going.
Thrust.
But they haven't delivered here. They just haven't delivered. But now there's a new engine upgrade. There's an upgrade to the chassis as well. So this Ferrari car is now or never. Because if they don't win something now and get into a bit of a habit of winning things, they're not going to catch Mercedes. No. Bottas, he's right at the top. And Hamilton's Hamilton. So you try to beat those guys in a reliable car. I'm going to say good luck at best. So that is the Spanish Grand Prix at the Madrid raceway. And cricket, it is 20 days until the Cricket World Cup. 20 days, which means basically we are hoping in 20 days Kriki Sirabada can have a better back. And we have no more injuries because obviously Andrich Nokia broke his thumb, so he's not playing. And Ngidi has just always seemed to be injured at the moment, so we don't really have many bowlers. So hold your thumbs and your fingers. But Australia are saying that the behaviour of their team has improved after the cheating scandal.
Okay, good.
Well, off such a low base, I should bloody hope so.
After you've been actually cheating in front of cameras.
God, I mean, what does this mean? They're actually wearing pants to breakfast in hotels nowadays? These likes were rougher than a goat's ass. And now they want to come and say, oh no, we're better. And they're having these stupid, like,
aren't they all mates with Mick the Bachelor and Australian Bachelor?
They might be. But, I mean, it's just such a non-story, but these people are always trying to push this stuff like, yeah, they've reformed and they're such nice guys and they play for the spirit of the game. Bullshit. But there have been some really funny memes because there's all these candid shots, as they say. Cricket Australia on their Twitter account saying, here's a bit of fun. Look at the candid shots of our players. And they're just like one guy's biting a bat, another guy's holding bales, but people are now taking the bales away and put like a roll of sandpaper. It's just lame. No one cares about Cricket Australia.
Is it fun?
You will have to literally kiss every baby in India with polio in order to get goodwill to come back to you. I'm sorry, but no one cares about you. No one's buying this whole look at us, we're such nice people thing. Horseshit. Kostas Semenya has been told by the IAAF that she is welcome to run in men's events, which is pretty much slapping the other cheek on top of the first one that they slapped last week with their decision. There's no good story in this Kostas Semenya thing. There's going to be legal appeals, all that kind of stuff, but that's just the latest that she has been told by the IAAF, rather charitably, that she may run in the men's events. And Robbie Fleck, he will carry on having a job despite the fact that he offers absolutely bugger all to the position. The Storm is not going to win the Super Rugby. They're probably not even going to get the qualifiers. There's absolutely no hope here. Why not just give the guy the arse now so the next coach can at least get a few games under the belt and then go into the season stronger? Would that be too much to ask? But then again, job security is great. I mean, the DA has gone backwards in the last few years, and Musi Maimane will keep a job. So, yeah, still the lowest tries by the Stormers in the tournament. So if you tell me Robbie Fleck brings flair, I will tell you to stop talking out your ass. That is it for the weekend. Let me quickly give
what
it
a
to
great
you.
Sports report.
Let me quickly give you the result, the fixtures to look forward to for this weekend if you are into the Super Rugby. Blues versus Hurricanes, 9:35 today on Friday, then followed by the Rebels versus the Reds, 11:45. And the Bulls will be hosting the Crusaders. They will put 12,000 tickets out this week at 20 Ront, hoping to get more people, more bums on them seats on the Oost Pavilion.
Yeah, they're selling them off at rock bottom prices.
$20 is on the Oost Pavilion.
Oh,
yeah, sure, I'll take that. But I mean, it's, geographically, it's not for me. Anyway, the Crusaders are a good team, and they'll be taking on the Bulls 7:10 tonight. And tomorrow, Saturday, Highlanders versus the Hakaha at 7:15 Dunedin. And then the Chiefs will be taking on the Sharks and Hamilton. And then we've got the Lions versus the Waratahs in Ellis Park. Emirates Ellis Park. You always got to say the sponsor because that's how the game flourishes.
Yes.
3:05.
I'm actually going to that one tomorrow.
Really? Is that because you're involved in a wine tasting? I also got invited to that. I see right through your motives. Yeah, you go to watch rugby.
No, I'm going to watch the rugby and
are you ready?
You're going the scrum and
you're going to a wine tasting.
Going to watch the scrum.
Yeah,
and the try.
See,
try
looking to get involved in the tight loose. And then the last game for the weekend will be Brumbies versus Sunwolves. That's your weekend of sport.
All right, very good. If you ever want to know why our sport is different and better than everyone else's, just share the link for this podcast, especially with your boring asshole friends who only watch Supersport. Please send this to them and they'll know why sport should be exciting every day. And even for people like Sia who suddenly become a rugby fan.
Yeah, the tight line.
You listen to Ben long enough, you'll learn to love and believe in sport again. Michelle says, it's really awesome that the public holidays are over. We finally have everybody there. Ben, Sia, Ass, and G. So, okay, thank you, Michelle. Mm. She said, I'm really going to miss Leanne's bachelor updates. Mm. No one gives us a better update. Love your work. And then Dipiwe says, guys, I know it's no politics Friday, but do you see what a ass-kicking the left got in South Africa in the elections? They kind of did. The BLF, the Black First Land First People, the Socialist Workers' Party, they all really failed dismally. So all of that's gone to absolute shit. So if anything good came out of this election, it is that the far left got an ass-kicking. Thanks for that, Ndipiwe. Inati says, F you, Gareth. I enjoyed the Bachelor updates. Thank you, Leanne, Sia, and Big Head Ben.
You're welcome.
Isn't that nice?
Very nice.
Clayton says, Ben, you have been missed. You are the best sports presenter in the world ever.
Thanks, Clayton.
Nice. And then here's some bad news. Anne Hathaway, who everyone
who
I know...
do not like.
Well, no one likes her. Does anyone like her?
I liked her in The Devil Wears Prada.
Okay, well, Anne Hathaway's got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, so if you really care about that, but I think that's very embarrassing for Hollywood and for the Walk of Fame and for stars.
If you walked into a restaurant and you saw her in the opposite side of the room,
yeah,
would you walk over and say anything
no,
to her?
No, I don't want to talk to her. She's irritating beyond belief. You know which girl I'm talking about, right? You know who Anne Hathaway is?
Yes, I can't watch anything with her in it.
Who's more annoying to you, Anne Hathaway or Taylor Swift?
Is that because her
and
mouth's
Sarah
so big?
And Sarah Jessica Parker.
Do you guys hate Anne Hathaway because her mouth is just so big? Mm. Or is it just because she was in Princess Diaries?
I haven't watched Princess Diaries, and I think her eyes and her mouth are too big.
What did Princess Diaries ever do to you?
Nothing to me, sir, because I'm an adult.
All right, so enough about Anne Hathaway and enough about all that shit. There's lots of other stuff to talk about. I do have to tell you, I watched The Australian Bachelor.
I've only seen clips of it.
Well, I saw just the last episode because you guys were going on about it so much, and I didn't go out on Tuesday night. I was at home, and I thought, well, let me turn on the telly, see what's on, and there was Australian Bachelor.
Is it on Mnet?
I don't know what
it
channel.
It was on Fuzu, I think.
Whatever channel. I was just going through the channels, and there it was, and I thought, wow, this is the guy that Leanne was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had to make a choice, and he didn't choose, and he let both girls go. And then they ended up in a caravan or something, the two of these girls, or whatever. I don't know. It looked like a caravan where they were. And they both went, do you know you didn't choose us? And the other went, Jesus Christ. And they were so cross with him and with the whole show. And
were they good looking, the girls?
Yeah, they weren't bad looking.
They actually weren't so bad. Yeah, because a lot of asylum seekers
nice
in Australia.
Nice looking Sheilas.
So they got a good gene pool nowadays. It's all over.
Yeah, it's better because of the asylum seekers.
They filtered out the criminal element.
Well, they've just bred it in. It's, you know, it's kind of baked in now. So, but there's some better genes coming in as well from all over.
And
so
it showed in the season, actually.
So the average Sheila is not, you know, hairier than the average man in Australia, which used to be the case.
No, I found the opposite being in Australia is that the men don't even look after themselves. The women do.
Really? Well, look, if there was a Bachelor 20 years ago, it just would have been one big fist fight. But at least now there's like, you know, femininity and grace. It's quite nice.
So
do you know what? I think it's actually the moustache that kills Nick.
Yeah, it's terrible. Look, all I wanted to say is I saw it. I watched more of that Bachelor than I did of our whole season of South Africa's one. Not a great show. I don't get it. Anyway, did you know that downloading a typical hour of Cliff Central can use 13 megs only of data? That's all.
Really?
That's tiny. Yeah, it's tiny, tiny, tiny. I mean, you listen to a song, and if it's in very high definition, high, you know, sort of supreme audio quality, many megabytes per second in streaming, it could be much more than that. But even if that's too much for you, then Telkom's Lit Bundles are a game changer. Access music services, TV series, movies, games, YouTube, and now Cliff Central, streaming and podcasts without using your data. If you want to know more, go to cliffcentral.com and find a step-by-step guide on how to get lit with Telkom. You'll see the banner on our main page. Go and take a look, click on it, and you will see. So this is in honor of Mick, the Australian Bachelor, or Nick. I don't know what he was.
Nick. The Honey Badger.
No, this is his song, so I thought I'd find this for him, just to start your Friday off properly. Because this should be played at the end of Australian Bachelor, every time.
This is CliffCentral.com.